5 years ago today, President Bill Clinton signed into law one of the biggest overhauls of a federal program in the nation's history. With help from a Republican-led Congress, he fulfilled the promise he made when he was nominated in 1992 to end welfare as we know it.
We will say to those on welfare, you will have and you deserve the opportunity through training and education, through child care and medical coverage, to liberate yourself. But then, when you can, you must work, because welfare should be a second chance, not a way of life. That's what the new covenant is all about.
Welfare is no longer an entitlement. Now the program is called Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, or TANF. There's a 5-year lifetime limit on assistance, and states have a lot of leeway in designing programs for turning welfare mothers into working mothers. The welfare caseload is now less than half of what it was at its peak in 1994. Next year, Congress must reauthorize the program. The debate among experts and welfare clients about what's worked and what hasn't already has begun. As part of a series of stories looking at how the law has played out, NPR's Ina Jaffe prepared this report.
Soft skills are skills that you need to have inside of you before you go to an employer. The ability to be on time.
Anne Marie Airy is leading this class for brand new welfare clients. It's the first step in the Welfare to Work program run by the Milwaukee YWCA. Though the 24 women here have only been on assistance for a few days, it seems they'd grasped the message of welfare reform even before they'd signed up for assistance. The comments of this outspoken young mother were typical.
Now it's like, if you want this money, this is what you're going to have to do. And it's making us be more responsible. Instead of sitting around at home, we can now get up and get out there so we can go out and get these jobs.
In Wisconsin, welfare clients have no choice about getting out there. The state treats a welfare check like a paycheck. Miss an assigned activity or show up late for your community service job, and it'll cost you. The state was among the first to experiment with welfare reform in the early 1990s on a waiver from the federal government. Wisconsin is considered a trailblazer, but there were actually 35 states with welfare reform programs in place well before the federal law was passed, says Jack Tweedy of the National Conference of State Legislatures.
There was so much action going on in the states that there was support for a federal change to free up states instead of having to go through the waiver process. They wanted a system where they had more flexibility to take their own actions, and I think it provided a lot of momentum for the passage of the TANF legislation.
One of the people who saw that legislation through Congress was Ron Haskins, then a Republican staffer on Capitol Hill, now a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. The dramatic decline in the nation's welfare rolls has astonished all the experts, says Haskins, though it's not the only measure of success.
But caseload reduction is an extremely important indicator because the overall goal was self-support, self-determination, people taking control of their own life, and therefore leaving the welfare rolls is a very important measure of that achievement.
Poverty rates, however, have not fallen nearly as dramatically as the welfare caseload. But welfare reform wasn't designed to end poverty, says Haskins. It was meant to be a jobs program. And there are other government supports, he says, that help the working poor. Food stamps, Medicaid, child care, and something called the Earned Income Tax Credit. It's like a tax refund worth a couple of $1,000s or more for working families who don't make enough to actually pay taxes. One study shows that it's lifted more children out of poverty than any other government program. Certainly, says Haskins, more than a welfare check ever did.
In almost every state, as long as people are on welfare, they cannot escape poverty. But when they go to work, if they have one or two children, because of that work support system that subsidizes their income, most of them escape poverty.
The system has worked better in theory than practice, however. Many former welfare families who are eligible for food stamps and Medicaid are not receiving them. But this shortcoming is nothing compared to the dire predictions made by skeptics 5 years ago. Gordon Berlin is with the Nonpartisan Manpower Demonstration Research Corporation, which evaluates welfare programs.
When the bill originally passed, people on the left were very, very concerned that placing a time limit on welfare would result in lots of people losing benefits and ending up on the street, no income. They predicted the worst kinds of outcomes.
One of the things that no one anticipated, he says, is that welfare reform would coincide with the hottest economy in the nation's history.
That brought extraordinary expansions in employment. Unemployment at one point reached 3.9% nationally. That meant that we were really reaching deeply into the low-income population, people with fewer skills, less work experience, welfare recipients.
Good afternoon, Seek Incorporated. This is Pia. 1 second, please.
28-year-old Pia Jackson is a welfare reform success story by anyone's standards. The Milwaukee mother of three was on assistance for 7 years, but has been off for three. She now earns $10 an hour as a customer service representative at an employment agency.
And it makes you feel even better to work and earn the money. I feel more independent now.
Still, ask Pia what she thinks of welfare reform, and you get this answer.
I think it was garbage.
Pia says she only went on welfare because her first child was born with serious foot and leg deformities. Over the years, he had surgery many times and often had casts on both legs. But Wisconsin's No Excuses welfare program told her she had to put her son in daycare and look for work or lose her check. Pia didn't know that her daycare provider took her son out walking in the snow with the other kids. She didn't know that the moisture had seeped inside his casts.
We went to the hospital to get his cast changed, and that's when his legs, they said if I waited one more day, his legs would have been amputated. They was going to take him from me because of, you know, medical neglect, but on the other hand, I had to feed him.
And the only way you could get your check was
to go through this program.
Still, Pia managed. Her son's doing better. She likes her job, and she just found a new home in a nice neighborhood. But not everybody does this well. By federal law, there's a 5-year lifetime limit on assistance. Diane, a Milwaukee mother of six who asked not to use her full name, reached her time limit a few weeks ago. But one of her sons is disabled, so she got an extension.
So within that 6 months, I take care of him, get back on the right track, and, you know, find me another job.
She hasn't been having much luck. At one time, Diane worked as a certified nursing assistant. She liked that job, but she can't get that kind of work anymore because she was convicted on a drug charge a few years ago. It's left her without much hope for her prospects.
So now, you know, I'll end up with a factory or a cleaning position, and I won't stay very long because that's not something that I like to do or I want to do.
But Diane doesn't blame the welfare system for her problems. She likes welfare reform.
This program works better because they put it in a system where we have to do something, you know, with our time and, you know, to keep us moving and active and stuff to get out and, you know, look for a job instead of just sitting at home.
That's the same reason that politicians like welfare reform, though the program often hasn't helped the most troubled families. There may be some changes in store when Congress reauthorizes it next year, but it's likely that welfare as we now know it will remain essentially the same. Ina Jaffe, NPR News, Milwaukee.